17:7. Again, I thank you so much for being here, and I hope you'll come back and be with us again. I really do. We're just so glad to have you with us. Am I on here? Okay. All right, very good. Proverbs chapter 17 and verse number 17. It says, "A friend loveth at all times, and a brother is born for adversity." First verse, first part of that verse, "A friend loveth at all times." I'm going to take I'm going to have a moment here. We're going to pray, and I want to speak on this topic this morning, a real friend. A real friend. Let's pray. Father, we thank you again for your blessings. I thank you for each one you've brought our way here this morning. Lord, I want to be a blessing to them. And so, Lord, I pray that your Holy Spirit will move. And, Lord, I don't know what all the needs are today, but you certainly do. And I know that I've come to church, and whether it was what the preacher said or with a song that was sung or just an encouraging word or from one of the folks, but Lord, I thank you just being in your house and with your people. Well, Lord, I do pray that what we say and do here this morning will be pleasing to you. We ask for your Holy Spirit to move. And Lord, be one here this morning, whether they've been here multiple times or never been here before. If there's someone who doesn't know Christ as their Savior, I pray that today be the day of their salvation. Just work in our hearts. Maybe encourage some folks, whatever the need may be, and we'll give you all the praise for it in Christ's name. Amen. It's a wonderful thing to have friends. You know, when you get to school the first time and you want to have a friend, you know, and then did you make any friends today? You know, and you're glad you got a friend, and, you know, the kids come home from school, "I got a true friend today." And, you know, we talk about that, we say, "Isn't that sweet?" But the fact is, we're just kids in big bodies, we like to have friends. Nobody really likes to be alone all the time. Now, I'll be honest with you, there's sometimes when I just want to go crawl in a hole someplace and, you know, be by myself. I understand that, and I guess everybody does that to a certain extent. But you don't want to be there all the time. You need friends. Friends can become closer to us even than family. You ever notice that? In fact, the Bible says, Peter says, "We've left all for you, Lord." He says, "Hey, well, yeah, but you haven't left anything that I won't give you, mom and friends and family, that I won't give you a hundredfold in this life." When we came up here to take this church in 2003, I mean, we're only about an hour away, so we're really not that far away. But, you know, I grew up in Carroll County, Maryland, a little Hampstead, Manchester, Westminster area there on the east side of the county. And it's kind of like the folks here in Dover. Everybody's related to everybody else. You can't talk about them because it's their cousin. And you know how it is, you know. And in fact, I was on staff down there on a church. And every time somebody new would join the church, the pastor, which I was assistant pastor, the pastor would say, "Okay, how are they related to you?" And sure enough, "Well, actually, they are so-and-so and so-and-so," or "I went to school with them," or whatever it is, you know, you have friends. But, you know, the friends can be closer than a family. On the other hand, we can sign our letters and our emails, "Your friend," and all we want, but true friends are not discovered because they're signed "Your friend" at the bottom of the email. They're discovered when the going gets rough. When things are tough. Sometimes you find out you have friends you didn't know you had. Do you remember your high school friends? Remember this? "We will stay in touch. We will be BFFs forever." And you know what? Within 3 or 4 or 5 or 6 months, you've forgotten all about them. You walk into your class reunion, you walk right past them, didn't even recognize them. I remember we're scheduled to have one in October. 40 years out of high school. Oh, my soul. When I was a kid, I thought 30 was almost dead. And now I've been out of school for 40 years. Last time we went there, we had our 35th reunion, and I walked into the room, and none of my classmates were there. It was all their parents. At least that's what it looked like. Of course, I hadn't changed. A little bit more of me, but, you know. But anyway, You sit down with them and you're thinking how great it's going to be to catch up with them. And then you find out you don't have anything in common with them anymore. Because they've gone your way and they've gone there, you know, I've gone my way. I remember when we were in school, at elementary school, some kid was having a birthday, and a friend of mine, Steve Hostler. I liked Steve Hostler. He was a good boy. He was just fun, and he had this little kazoo shaped like a trombone, and he was supposed to play Happy Birthday with this kazoo shaped like a trombone, but he could carry a tune about like a frog, and so they handed it to me, and I played it there. We did Happy Birthday, and it was good. And he was just a little boy, you know, and just fun. And then I went to my high school reunion and found out he had grown up. He owned a jewelry store. He came in. He was all respectable looking, all this stuff. You just never know. But anyway, the Bible tells us some things about friends. And I want to focus on that just for a few moments here. Let me give you number one here. A real friend loves at all times. We saw in our passage here. A friend loveth at all times. And a brother is born for adversity. Yeah, I understand. We've got people. And I'm not sure that word brother necessarily means blood brother. Necessarily. I think it certainly can be applied there. But you know, you come to a place like this, and after a while, I talked about leaving home and all my friends and family. The fact is, I feel about as home here as I have ever anywhere else in my whole life. I've got about 35 mothers in the church. They take good care of me. They found out that I like peanut butter. And so peanut butter pie and peanut butter cake and chocolate cake with the peanut butter icing and peanut butter cups. And I get about 3 or 4 peanut butter eggs, you know, and all this stuff. I'm not complaining. I'm just explaining. I appreciate it. We got friends. We got brothers. There are folks here that is almost like brother. They're like family. In fact, I have found, folks who know Christ their Savior, have you ever come up across somebody that you just met and within a few moments your eyes meet and you think, they're my brother. They're my sister in Christ. I feel like I've known them all my life. It's just people like that. A friend loveth at all times and a brother is born for adversity. That's what we're here for, he says. Be brothers and sisters in Christ. When times get rough, that's when you find out who your real friends are. Psalm 35, 14 says this, I behaved myself as though he had been my friend or brother. I bowed down heavily as one that mourned for his mother. But in mine adversity they rejoiced and gathered themselves together. Yea, the abjects gathered themselves together against me, and I knew it not. They did tear me. They ceased not. With hypocritical mockers and feasts, they gnashed upon me with their teeth. You know what that means? They talked about me badly at the party. That's what that means. That's not what friends are supposed to do. Psalm 41:9 says, Yea, mine own familiar friend in whom I trusted, which did eat of my bread, hath lifted up his heel against me. You know, as the old saying, with friends like that, you don't need enemies. No, a friend loves at all times. Watch this. A friend loves us even when we're wrong. Now watch me. They should not, and they agree with us when we're wrong, but they still love us when we're wrong. I can't tell you how many people over the years, I mean a bunch, that have said, well, Pastor, and something had happened, and said, well, can I come back to church? What do you mean, can you come back to church? Couldn't come back to church. Well, I know, but you know what happened? Yeah, okay, all right, forget about it. Let's move on. Come back to church. We're family. You don't throw family into the ditch. A friend loveth at all times. Listen, God commendeth his love toward us, and while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Now, he didn't like the sin, and he probably really didn't like us at the moment when we're sinning, but he loved us and sent his only begotten Son to die on the cross and pay for our sins. Watch, friends do not disassociate with you because they're embarrassed of you. Friends stick around. A true friend sticks around. Some friends just want what they can get out of you. Proverbs 19:6, many will entreat the favor of the prince, and every man is a friend to him that giveth gifts. Every man's a friend to him who's given out gifts. Think about the prodigal son. Boy, he had a lot of friends there for a while. He got a bunch of daddy's money, and he headed off the other side of town, or actually into the far country, and he had all the buddies and friends and girls he wanted until the money ran out, and then all of a sudden, boom, they're all gone, and he's left holding the bill. A true friend loveth at all times. Sometimes you wonder if you need some friends. I like this. I love God. He has a sense of humor. Listen to this in Proverbs 27:14. He that blesseth his friend with a loud voice, rising early in the morning, it shall be counted a curse to him. You catch that? I love it. You're laying in bed, you're dead tired, and your friend comes up and says, "Hey, you want to go out and ride the bike?" And you go, Friends can be annoying at times. That's what he's saying. Friends can be annoying at times, but the fact is a friend loveth at all times. Number two. Ready? Faithful are the wounds of a real friend. Proverbs 27, you're in Proverbs. You can jump right there real quick. Proverbs 27:5 says this. It's 27:5. Open rebuke is better than secret love. Faithful are the wounds of a friend, but the kisses of an enemy are deceitful. True friends love us. Ready? Even when they're wounding us. Now, that's not saying to come out and beat you up and all this kind of stuff. You know what the wounds is talking about? When they actually kind of call you on the carpet. When times get tough, we find out who our real friends are, and a real friend does not agree with us when we're wrong, but a real friend wants what is best, and truth is what's best. A friend loves at all times, and love, in 1 Corinthians 13, rejoices not in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth. Be honest with you, and you might not believe this, but I'm your friend. I know sometimes we get done preaching and you say, "I thought he liked me." I do. I'm your friend. I hate sin. Sin destroys people. And the thing is, we are so foolish, and we'll jump right back into it, even though we know what the end is going to be. And sometimes sometimes I've said you got to bring a seat belt and put your steel-toed shoes on. But sometimes you need to do that at the doctor's office too. Sometimes he has to do surgery so we stay alive. Why? Listen, that doctor can be the best friend you have certain times in life. Now, I'm not smart, and I don't know everything, but I know the book does. And I know it works. And though you may feel wounded at times, I want you to know that I am trying my best with a surgeon's skill to do just the right work to help cut away that mess that's going to destroy us. There are some things that only a friend can get away with. You've been there? The only thing they can tell you is the truth when the truth hurts. Proverbs 27:17 says, "Iron sharpeneth iron, so a man sharpeneth the counsel of his friend." Janet's dad was one who always kept his knives sharp. And sometimes you see him sitting there and he'd have his things, he'd keep them sharp. And sometimes you'd see sparks. That means it's hot. That means there's friction. That means pieces are falling away. But I tell you what, that knife was going to slice just as quick as it could be, just as slick and clean. Iron sharpens iron. sometimes it causes a little heat. You ever get finished a conversation with a friend and you're kind of heated up? It happens. But when you know the friend loves us, you know it's right. Some folks don't particularly like me because I'm fairly blunt. I was going to say pretty blunt, but pretty is not associated with me anyway. I preach the word of God, and sometimes the truth hurts. I know the truth steps on toes. It steps on mine. But sometimes we need to be told. One of our guys, one day we were getting ready to go out. The choir was rehearsing before the service, and we're ready to go out on the platform and have church. And here I am, and I was doing my thing and so forth, and this friend came up to me, and he said, "Your zipper's down." Now, was I embarrassed? Yes. But not as embarrassed if my friend had not wounded me slightly. Now, there was another time I wish some friend would have said something. When I was down in Maryland, I was a music director at Church Open Door Westminster, and we had the senior adult choir. We would go out and sing. Oh, we had about 35 concerts a year, and we'd go out and sing. And one of the places we would do was we would go down to the mall, and they had a nice platform up there, and we'd sing a Christmas program right in the middle of the mall. And we got finished singing it, and we all got back on the bus and started going. Of course, it'd be right on the edge here, you know. I was directing and so forth and having a good time. And we got back on the bus, and somebody walked up a little late and said, "Did you know you split your pants?" I'm telling you, it was split from the waistband all the way down to the next seam in the bottom. I don't know when or how or what. And, of course, I'm not trying to be improper here, but I had a navy blue suit on. I'm kind of old-fashioned. So they're white. So I had done my thing. You know, I don't usually stand still, you know, and I'm having done. I wish somebody had been my friend. Because faithful are the wounds of a friend. You know, as a friend, I don't always, we won't always bail you out, but you can trust me and know that you don't have a greater friend. Number three. Two, worst thing, a friend loveth at all times. Number two, faithful are the wounds of a friend. Number three, there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. See, a friend loveth at all times, and a brother is born for adversity, but there's a friend that's closer than a brother. They say blood is thicker than water, but true friends, I think, are thicker than blood. Proverbs 18:24, if you want to look at the verse with me, just a page or two away. Proverbs 18:24, man that hath friends must show himself friendly, and there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. There are those that stay by you through thick and thin, even when the family deserts us. Proverbs 27:10 says, when my father and my mother forsake me, then the Lord will take me up. There may be somebody here, and probably we've all been somewhere in our life, we thought, I don't have any friends. I'm all alone. There may have been some time when you had to take a stand and everybody else went the other direction, but you just knew it didn't go along with the Word of God and you had to take a stand. It feels lonely. The Bible says we'll draw nigh to God, He'll draw nigh to us. Now that very, when we have to take that stand and everybody else is going another direction, that is a very lonely step. You know what I'm talking about? You feel like I'm going into oblivion here. But you see, when you take a step next, you take a step toward the Lord, He takes a step closer to you. There's been a couple times in my life, I remember in high school, for what it's worth, there were some folks, I was a friend too, but I wasn't looking for them to be my friend. And I'll tell you why. I'd end up in the wrong spot. You need to choose your friends wisely. But there's a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. He'll stay with you through thick and thin. Listen, you can't choose your relatives, but you can choose your friends. Real friends are willing to put themselves out for you. A real friend will sacrifice for the sake of their friends. Know that? They've got other things to do, but they'll stop what they're doing and they're going to go ahead and do whatever it is that you need because they need you to do it. Real friends stick with you through the thick and the thin. You've got a friend in me. You've got a friend. Somebody ought to be your friend. You ought to realize, by the way, you ought to be a friend. Friend loveth at all times. The wounds of a friend are faithful. And there's a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. Number four. There's no greater love than for someone to lay down his life for his friend. John 15:9, we're in the New Testament, the Lord speaking. It says, as the Father loved me, so have I loved you. Continue in my love. Then he says, watch. If you keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love. That kind of sounds a little selfish. Well, if you do what I tell you to do, I'll love you. No. Now you see, in the Lord is no darkness at all. You can't say that you walk with Him and walk in darkness. So if you stick with Him, you're going to have a friend that sticks closer than a brother. But he's not going to go down in the muck and the mire. He's holy. He loves us, and He may reach out a hand and pull us out of a mess. But God is not going to endorse the mess. He's not going to wallow in the mud with you. He'll help pull you out. He'll clean you up. He'll wash you down. He'll get you ready. And if you abide with Him, you're going to have a friend that sticks closer than a brother. Listen, if you keep His commandments, you shall abide in my love. Otherwise, you're choosing to walk away from His love. The Lord is not withholding His love. He cannot withhold His love. He loves with an everlasting love, Jeremiah 31:3 says. But James 4:8 says, draw nigh to God and He will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, purify your hearts, you double-minded, be afflicted, mourn, weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning, your joy to heaviness. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord and He shall lift you up. He says, listen, if you keep my commandments in John 15:10, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in His love. We are to walk in the light even as He is in the light. If we walk in the darkness, we're going to walk alone. Because in Him is no darkness at all. It goes on and says, these things have I spoken to you that my joy might remain in you and that your joy might be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another even as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Ye are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you. Henceforth I call you not servants, but the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth. But I have called you friends. For all things that I have heard of my Father I have made known unto you. Listen, Jesus was accused of being a friend of publicans and sinners. Romans 5:1 tells us this. Listen to me. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into His grace wherein we stand, and we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God, and not only so, but we glory in tribulation also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience hope, And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. For when we were yet without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more than being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if when we were enemies we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more being reconciled we shall be saved by his life. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement. There's no greater love than someone to give their life for their friends. I got one more picture I want you to see. In Zechariah, back in the Old Testament, there's a section of prophecy. There's an awful lot of prophecy of Christ coming. By the way, the Old Testament is the New Testament concealed. The New Testament, the Old Testament revealed. It's all there. That thread of blood of the Christ goes all the way through the Old Testament. In Zechariah 13:6, it's talking about the one who's going to come and pay for the sins of the world. Speaking of Jesus, hundreds of years before it happened. But listen what it says, Zechariah 13:6. And one shall say unto him, what are these wounds in thine hands? What are these wounds in thine hands? Then he shall answer, those which I was wounded in the house of my friends. You see, in fact, let me read this to you. In John 10, verse 14. Jesus speaking. John 10, 14. I am the good shepherd, and I know my sheep, and am known of mine. As the Father knoweth, even so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice. And there shall be one fold and one shepherd. Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life, that I might take it again. Watch this. John 10, 18. No man taketh it from me, but I lay down of myself, and I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it up again. This commandment have I received of my Father. What are these wounds in your hands? These I was pierced in the house of my friends. You know, Jesus could have stopped the crucifixion, but he didn't. You know what Jesus said in Luke 23, 34, he says, then said Jesus, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And then they part his garments and bed on him. It boggles my mind. But you see, a friend loveth at all times. Christ died for the ungodly. He didn't agree with where we stood. He doesn't agree with our sin. But a friend loveth at all times. A friend is willing to sacrifice for the sake of his friend. Not because his friend is perfect, but because he's a friend. And no greater love, of course, no, there's no greater love than God, for God is love, and he that loveth is born of God and knoweth God, for God is love. There is no greater love than his, and there is no greater love than for someone to lay down his life for his friends. The wounds are for his friends. He said, I will lay down my life, and I will suffer the process of crucifixion so I don't lose my friends. But where did he get his wounds? In the house of his friends. But see, a friend loveth at all times. It's not that we loved him, but that he first loved us. The Bible says, there is none righteous. No, not one. That means every one of Jesus' friends is a sinner. There's none righteous, no, not one, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Watch this. Have you ever had a friend you just think, well, I'm a friend to them, but I'm kind of doing them a favor because they're not as good as me? Huh? Don't raise your hand. Not that you go around thinking about how great I am, but you know what? They're kind of lucky to have me for a friend. God's not lucky to have us for a friend. We wounded him. But for the sake of not losing us, he took the cross. Because you see, we're all sinners. There's none righteous, no, not one. No one can enter into heaven that would defile it. Our sin, sin has been, watch this. If everybody in the world was perfect, but me. And so everybody in the world is sitting in heaven having a good time, but me. And God says, you know what, I feel sorry for Sterling, why don't we let him in? If he did, then heaven wouldn't be heaven for you. Because heaven's supposed to be perfect, and I just messed it up. Because I'm not. But if I go in, if something doesn't have, if deal with my sin, or my wife's sin, my kid's sin, I've still got a mess. He says, they can't come into my heaven because of the sin. The fearful, the unbelieving, abominable, and whoremongers, and sorcerers, and idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake with burning fire and brimstone, which is the second death. That separation from God for eternity. If we don't choose to have him as our friend here, then once we die, it's all settled. Right here, we're kind of, you see God, and then you wonder where he is. You know, you're kind of living in the middle here. But once we die and pass into eternity, if we wanted God in our life, we will have all of him. But if we didn't want to have God in our life here, we're not going to have any of him. Hell is everything God is not. But he says, I'll pay for it because I don't want to lose my friend. But then we have a choice. Do we care about losing our friend? Isaiah 53 says, the Lord laid on him the iniquity of us all. When they arrested Jesus in the garden, they took him back to the high priest's office. The religious people had him arrested. They blindfolded him, they beat him, made fun of him. Got tired of that, morning came, they take him to Pilate, the Roman governor, who had the power to execute. We want him crucified. Just a week before, they were saying, Hail, Son of David, Hosanna! Some friends. We want him crucified. What did he do? We want him crucified. Well, what did he do? We want him crucified. Trying to make everybody right, trying to be friends with everybody, be the world. And by the way, we can't be friends with the world and God too. Friendship with the world is enmity with God. So he said, I'll have him scourged and released. So they had him scourged within an inch of his life. Beaten. Whipped with cat of nine tails. Some of you saw that whip that we had up here during Easter. They put a crown of thorns on his head. And after they said they beat him on the head with a stick, which would have put those thorns into his scalp. They put a cross on his back and had him carried up Mount Calvary. He fell beneath the load. Simon of Cyrene carried the rest away. When we got to the top of the hill, though, they nailed him to the cross. And when that cross went up, he was bleeding from every part of his body. Why? Because a friend loveth at all times. When that cross went down into the ground and his bones went out of joint, he was bleeding from every part of his body. The life of the flesh is in the blood. And every drop of blood that fell from his body was his life leaving him. And what did he say? Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. There's a friend. They don't know what they're doing. But I love them. And I don't want to lose them. Faults and all. As his blood was dripping from his body and his life leaving him, he says, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? At that time, the Lord had laid on him the iniquity of us all. We cannot be in God's presence with sin, but God took our sin on our account and placed it on Jesus. So now when God saw his only begotten Son, what did he see? Our sin. Turned his back and let him die with our sin. Why did they go through such agony? Because a friend loveth at all times. I lay it down, but I'm going to take it up again. A little while later, he cried out, it is finished. Father, in thy hand I commend my spirit. And he died. What was finished? That I came to seek and to save that which is lost. You know who he told that to? Zacchaeus was a wee little man. Little guy, publican, cheating folks in the tax industry. Hey, come on down here. I'm going to your house. And his life was never the same. Because he came to seek and to save that which is lost. Because he was a friend of sinners. And a friend loveth at all times. Took him off the cross and put him in the tomb. 3 days later, he rose again. Why? The debt was paid. There's no reason to stay dead. The penalty was death. It's over. It's all paid in full. Do you hear me? All paid in full. What if you ran up a bill for $2,000 and put it on your friend's credit card? And then your friend found out and somebody found out and they arrest you for fraud. And they put you in jail, so not only do you owe the $2,000 that you have, but you owe all kinds of other penalties and so forth and fines. And your friend says, well, I don't want you sitting in jail. Forget about the $2,000 you owe me. And where do I go to pay the fines? So that doesn't make any sense. It doesn't. Unless you, I like the little phrase, but God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish. So I don't want to lose you, but have everlasting life. He took the sin we sinned against him and paid our penalty for the sin on top of it. So he wouldn't lose us, because a friend loveth at all times. Do you know him? He's a really good fella. He's a wonderful friend. Jesus Christ is your friend. Are you his friend? There is no greater friend than this. And Jesus laid down his life for us. The question is, are you willing to receive the gift of eternal life so you can be his friend? We need to settle this now. I don't mean to be pushy, but we need to settle this now. Just about 3 months ago, three, 4 months ago, maybe more, a little longer than that, my Uncle Vernon, bicycle rider, he traveled all over the country, If anybody was in good health out of that family, it was him. He had stopped at the grocery store. It was back during the winter. Yeah, it was right after Christmas. And it was kind of snowy, and he kind of had a little hill there. So he didn't drive the car up, but he grabbed his groceries and apparently got as far as the door, and the door got open. And when they found him, there he was in the door with the groceries all over the place. Died of a heart attack. If anybody was healthy, it was my Uncle Vernon. You can tell I don't do a whole lot of bike riding. But he had kept himself in good shape all those years. We don't know. And Revelation 22:11 says this. It's the end of time. Everything's settling down. It says this. He that is unjust, let him be unjust still. And he which is filthy, let him be filthy still. And he that is righteous, let him be righteous still. And he that is holy, let him be holy still. We got to make the decision before we pass into eternity. Because once it's there, it's locked in place. Jesus said, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. But he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven. Many shall say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have they cast out devils? And in thy name many wonderful works? Be very religious. And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye workers of iniquity. But wait a minute. But he that doeth his will, what is his will? They said unto him, what shall we do that we might work the works of God? In John 6:28-29, Jesus answered, he says, this is the work of God, that ye believe on him whom he hath sent. Got a job? The job is to trust Christ. That's the job. There's a friend out there that loveth at all times. He sticks closer than a brother. His wounds are faithful. And he's given his life for us. No greater love than to give your life for your friend. Let's bow our heads. Father, I thank you for speaking to our hearts here this morning. I thank you've been very patient this morning. And Lord, I pray that you work on our heart here now and do your work. And our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. I want to ask you a question. If you're here this morning and you know that there's been a time when you chose to trust the death of Jesus on the cross as full payment for your sin. And so because of God's promises, you know without a shadow of a doubt that you're going to heaven. Now heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. I'm not going to embarrass anybody. I would never do that. But you know for sure without a shadow of a doubt if you died to go to heaven. If you know that, just slip your hand up. Would you do that? Say, I know for sure without a shadow of a doubt if I died to go to heaven. Wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. Now, amen, you put your hands down. We've got a lot of extra people here today, and I can't see everybody who's got their hand up or not. It was really for you and between you and the Lord. But let me ask you this morning. I will not embarrass anybody. But if you're here this morning, said to be honest with you, I couldn't really raise my hand. Not sure I had that squared away. And I'm really not quite sure. Maybe you know for sure you're not, or maybe you say, well, I'm not sure. But I'd like to be sure. I'd like to know if I died, I'd go to heaven. I want to, and by the way, once you get Christ that way, you have access to him. He becomes your friend. He's already your friend, but you get to experience the friendship. If you're here this morning, you don't know for sure if you died to go to heaven. Heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. No one looking around. Would you just slip your hand up? Say, I don't know for sure, but I'd like to know for sure. Thank you. Just slip your hand up. All right, thank you. Put your hand down. I've seen that one. And say, I'm here. Anybody else? I'm here. And I don't know for sure if I die to go to him, but I'd like to know. Thank you. That's good. Put that hand down. There's others. All right. The heads are still bowed and eyes are closed. The Bible says, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That means I'm a sinner. I've had to do this. I'm only going to say I'm going to heaven because I'm saved by grace, the grace of God, through his mercy. Because of our sin, the Bible says the wages of sin is death. What we earn for being sinners is separation from God for eternity. That's death. Both physical death and the second death, which is separated from God from eternity in hell, lake of fire. But the Bible says, God commendeth his love toward us, and while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. The Lord laid on him the iniquity of us all. And then it says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. If you'll trust his death on the cross for full payment for your sins, he'll save you. Let me say it this way. If he'll take you just like you are, and he will, forgive your sin and give you a home in heaven, would you let him do it? If you would, even if you didn't raise your hand, from your heart to God's heart, I can help you call on the name of the Lord. When I got married, I didn't have all my vows memorized, but I meant them, and we can do the same thing here. From your heart to God's heart, would you pray with me and accept that? Say something like this. Say, dear God, I know that I'm a sinner. And I know that because of my sin, I deserve death in hell. But I believe that Jesus died and paid for all my sin and rose again the third day, proving all my sins were paid for. Right now, the best I know how, I accept the death of Jesus as full payment for my sin. I'm trusting him alone for my salvation. Come into my heart, forgive me of my sin, and give me a home in heaven. Thank you for saving me. Now, heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. You've been very patient. If you prayed that prayer and you meant it, you pray from your heart to God's heart and you meant that, no one's looking around, would you just slip your hand up and say, I prayed that prayer and I meant it with my heart. Amen. 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 Are there others? Amen. You put those hands down. Thank you. Are there others? Say, I prayed that prayer. I meant it with my heart. I was trusting Christ. I'm getting this settled. Amen. Father, I thank you for speaking to hearts. And Lord, I thank you for your friendship. It's beyond anything we could imagine. Hard for us to almost understand a friendship like that. And thank you so much for these dear friends who are here this morning, for what you've done in hearts. Now, Lord, I pray that you bless our time, bless these folks. May we come to the point of a greater understanding day after day of what we've gotten when we receive Christ as Savior. Lord, we can be a blessing to these folks. And other folks who are here, maybe already were saved. Lord, help us to do that. We give the praise for it all in Christ's name. Amen. Amen. You look up. And I know we're a little late here, but let me explain something to you. When you reach, the Bible says, for by grace, means we didn't deserve it,